Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We wanted to feature you as our chorister in our e-newsletter. And I just want to ask you some questions about your experience as a singer, how you got to where you are today, and what you think about our upcoming Porgy and Bess.
Sure.
So first of all, would you mind tell me, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Rochelle, New York.
Awesome. And how did you choose that you wanted to be a singer as your profession? Did you have an inspiration moment?
Well, yeah, I was in, I think it was my junior or senior year in high school, and our school choir went to a matinee at the Metropolitan Opera, and we saw Rigoletto, and that pretty much did it for me.
That sealed the deal.
It sealed the deal, yeah.
What do you remember about that performance? Was it the music? Was it the singers? It touched you in a way that you said, hey, I got to do this?
Yeah, it was really everything. The singing, the singers primarily, the scenery, just the whole atmosphere, you know, when the chandeliers go up, when the lights go out and stuff. It was, and then we got a chance to go backstage, some of us, so we got to see the costumes, and so it was pretty intense.
Did you have any music?
The singing was glorious.
Yeah, of course. Did you have any music in your life at home, or was all of your exposure through school? Is that really the place where you got it?
Both places. I mean, we sang at home. I was in a church choir. My parents were in gospel quartets when they were growing up. So music has always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sure which direction it was going to go until that matinee performance of Rigoletto.
Of course. So then you went to school at the same school where Renee Fleming did, right? The State University of New York College at Potsdam?
That is correct.
Tell me about that. What was it like going to that school and your teachers and how you learned everything that you did to get you where you are today?
Well, first of all, it was cold.
Yeah, I believe it.
It was very, very cold. But it was a great atmosphere to learn. I mean, I had a really great teacher. Her name was Lynn Myers. Really wonderful. Just helped me a lot in terms of getting some discipline, getting things lined up. There were some performance opportunities which helped. But it was just a great atmosphere to learn. A lot of support, not only from the teachers, but also from fellow students.
So once you graduated then, how did you continue to propel your career? Did you do young artist programs? Where did you go from there?
No, actually, I just studied privately while I was in New York and worked to pay for those. I did. I was a lifeguard for a while. I worked for UPS. I also worked at a bottling plant, you know, to help cover the cost of lessons.
So then what brought you here to Chicago to Lyric? You've been with us for a very long time, 13 years, correct?
That's correct. Actually, I came to Chicago because I was singing Joe in Showboat at the Auditorium Theater. That's what brought me to Chicago, and I fell in love with it.
And then you decided, hey, I gotta get into the chorus here. I got to try to do what I can, and came to us?
Yeah, well, Showboat closed about a year or so after that, so I just started doing the auditions. I heard there was an opening, so I jumped in there.
Awesome. But you've been here for a considerably long time, and what about Lyric do you enjoy? What keeps you here? How has your experience been with the chorus here at Lyric?
Well, Sarah, it's a lot like a family.
Yeah.
With all that entails. I mean, every family has drama, and we have drama sometimes, but basically we all get along, and it's a great place to work. I love all of my colleagues, and they all contribute something to the end product, and that, to me, makes it enjoyable, and that's why I stay.
Good. What has been, if you had to say, the single most defining moment of your career to date?
Career
I know, I'm sorry, I'm getting into the hard, the questions to kind of draw a little out.
I'd have to say, and there's been more than one defining moment.
Give me the big ones. What sticks out in your mind?
Two big ones stick out in my mind. Performing at the Met was one of them. I got to do some extra chorus work there early on, and being on that stage after having seen a production when I was in high school was pretty pretty surreal. So that was one defining moment. But the other would I would have to say would be singing Joe and Showboat. I got a chance to do that on Broadway. I got a chance to tour with it. I got a chance to do it in London. It was really an amazing experience.
Excellent. What is your favorite opera to perform?
My favorite opera to perform.
You can give me more than one.
I can? Okay. Good.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me your top. I'm like, I realize that's really hard. Tell me your tops to perform in and maybe your favorites to listen to if they're different.
My top four to perform in, I'd have to say, would be Meistersinger, Goethe Dämmerung, Rigoletto, Marriage of Figaro, even though we don't have a whole lot to sing in that, would be my top four. As far as listening, I love listening to Rigoletto.
Me too.
it's just so well put together.
Yeah.
You can hear all of the inside work going on. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there and just listen to it forever.
So is there a musician that you admire the most, either classical or popular music? And if so, why?
I admire a lot of them. I don't know that I could say this one.
Mm-hmm.
I admire the most, but I'd say Renee is probably high on that list.
Okay.
Renee Fleming.
Yes.
I've known her since college, and I've seen her grow. And she's always been a sweet person. She's always been a giving person, even whether on stage or off the stage. And what I admire is that even though she's reached incredible heights in her career, that hasn't changed. She still stays sweet. She's still approachable. You can still talk to her. And that I admire quite a bit.
So let's talk a little bit about Porgy. You've been in both of our productions of Porgy and Bess. What do you like the most about that opera?
I would have to say the music. The orchestration in particular. I mean, there's really a lot of different styles going on there. And George Gershwin actually moved to South Carolina to be near the Gullah community so he could really capture the essence, the flavor of how they lived and translate that into the music. Not to mention, he had DeBose Hayward, who wrote the original story of Porgy. And so what I like about it is it's got different styles. You've got jazz, you've got gospel spiritual influence going on, you've got symphonic music. And it all fits together. He put it all together really in an incredible way. And the music itself, not to mention the singing, it just moves me.
How do you develop and prepare your character as a chorister in an opera? And more specifically, how will you prepare or have you prepared for Porgy?
Well, I think it depends on the language. If it's a different language, then I usually start with the language. You know, what am I singing? To whom am I singing? Why am I singing it? And then I work backwards from there. Find the character. You know, who am I? Am I a peasant? Am I an aristocrat? Am I a priest? Whatever. And then work that in. If it's in a different language with Porgy, the language is already taken care of. It's in English. So then the main focus would be on developing a character. As a chorister, you don't really get a whole lot of time to do character development. A lot of it's already fleshed out, you know, by the director. They have an idea of what they want, and so we kind of work off of that. At least I do. And put it together that way. The nice thing about Porgy is that we're a community, and we all are individual characters, as opposed to just being, you know, the chorus. We actually get a chance to be individual. So we kind of find that as we go, because, I mean, the director sets the framework, and then we work within that framework to develop our characters. But, yeah, I've already started. I brought the music with me here in San Francisco. Francisco, so I've been listening to it. I've been looking through the score, getting it back in my head, getting it back in my voice. All those little things that are going to help in the long run as we get to rehearsals.
So what, then, are you most excited about for this upcoming 14-15 production of Porgy? How is it different this time around?
Oh, it's going to be different in a lot of ways. We have a different cast, first of all. Eric Owens has done it. He did it in San Francisco when I was out here in 2009, but he's never done it in Chicago. The guy playing Crown actually played Jake when we did it in Chicago, so that's a huge step up for him. So that's going to bring something different. Just a different cast, different chorus people. We have a different conductor this time around. And all those people bring something different to the table. And when that happens, then the dynamic changes, the energy changes. And so, in a way, even though it's Porgy, even though it's the same production, it's really not the same production because you have different people. And so it makes it like you're doing a whole new production.
And last one, how do you think an audience can relate to Porgy and Bess? What makes it, if it is, still relevant today?
Oh, it's extremely relevant today. The Porgy and Bess is about a community and really, you know, society at large. You know, how do we as a society deal with violence? I mean, that's one of the first things we see after summertime, the crap game. And then, you know, Crown in a drunken, cocaine-fueled rage kills Robbins. So how do we deal with violence? How do we deal with poverty? Obviously, the situation economically is not the greatest. How do we deal with prejudice or discrimination? We see that at the funeral when the police chief or the sergeant comes in and basically harasses the people trying to get a confession out of somebody about who killed Robin. How do we deal with disasters and tragedies? I mean, there's a lot of that going on. We've got the hurricane, you know, Clara and Jake are killed in the hurricane. Drug addictions, drug dealers, you know, Sport Life is a drug dealer, and he's not the nicest person, even though he comes off that way. So how do we deal with that as a community? How do we deal with that as a society? I think they dealt with it because they stuck together. There was love there. They loved each other. And that love held them together through all of the stuff that they went through. And love is one of those things that it can be crazy and it can do some amazing stuff. I mean, at the end, Porgy hobbles to New York from South Carolina on a crutch looking for Beth. That's pretty crazy. But at the same time, that same love that not only he had for Beth, but the love that they had as a community, even with all the drama, is what kept them together. And that's, I think, a question we should ask ourselves as a society. Would we stay together? Will we love each other? Because that's what held them together, and ultimately that's what's going to hold us together as a society. So I think it's extremely valid, and those are questions we could definitely ask ourselves